From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson.
So I want all the girls watching here and now to know that a new day is on the horizon.
This is Oprah Winfrey giving her now famous speech at the Golden Globes.
And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say, "Me too," again. Thank you.
Oprah's speech earlier this month may have been the pinnacle moment for the Me Too movement, which aims to give voice to people who've been victims of sexual assault and rape. Me Too was started by Tarana Burke over 10 years ago, but it didn't catch fire as a national movement until this fall. The spark was movie producer Harvey Weinstein. Here's actress Erica Rosenbaum talking about her encounter with him. And just a warning, her story and others we hear today are pretty graphic.
He holds me by the back of the neck and faces me to the mirror and very quietly tells me that he just wants to look at me. And he starts to masturbate, standing behind me.
Other women spoke out as well. And suddenly, after years of allegations and rumors of abuse, Harvey Weinstein's career crumbled. And soon, there were more stories, and more careers came crashing down from politicians like Minnesota Senator Al Franken.
Today, I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate.
To men in the media, in September, Matt Lauer had tough questions for Fox host Bill O'Reilly.
You were accused of sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
You said at the time you did absolutely nothing wrong.
Correct.
Do you stand by that?
I do.
By November, Lauer himself was out. NBC fired him for inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace. The Me Too movement is spreading beyond Hollywood, the news media, and Capitol Hill. Women from all corners of society are now coming forward with their stories. Attention to this issue may be new, but the problem is not. Back in 2013, we teamed up with KQED Radio, the investigative reporting program at UC Berkeley, PBS Frontline, and Univision to look into sexual violence against women janitors. These are people who clean the buildings many of us work in, scrubbing toilets, taking out the garbage, and vacuuming up the crumbs from our sandwiches. A lot of them are immigrants, some here illegally. They usually work alone at night, and that isolation can leave them vulnerable. The team of journalists we mentioned spent a year and a half investigating the industry. Their story was called Rape on the Night Shift, and we first aired it in 2015. We revisit it today because it's rare that these women's stories hit the front page, even in the era of Me Too. Here's Sasha Coca from KQED in San Francisco.
The lights go out as the daytime office workers leave the building. And then, room by room, they flicker back on. Three stories of glass light up like a shadow play. The silhouettes of janitors appear on different floors, one polishing a window, another mopping. Outside, two women hide behind a palm tree, watching.
Mira, pero allá está el basurero.
Vicky Marquez is less than 5 feet tall, with heels on. Veronica Alvarado has tattoos and green highlights streaking through her hair.
Look, do you see him? There's a guy walking. He's passing the vacuum in the second floor.
The women are casing this office park in suburban Orange County, about an hour south of Los Angeles. They're undercover investigators with a tiny nonprofit that's trying to root out abuses in the cleaning industry.
So we're walking around the building to see the possible entryways.
They'll sometimes wait for janitors near garbage dumpsters or inside bathroom stalls.
Pero no corras porque causa sospecha. Y es que como hay cámaras por todos lados.
Don't run, says Marquez. That makes us look suspicious to the security cameras.
Magia, magia, magia.
Magic, magic, says Alvarado. The door is still unlocked.
Buenas noches. ¿Cómo está?
On this night, they find janitors who work 7 days a week without overtime, others who have to buy their own cleaning supplies. But once in a while, they'll meet a woman who confides a darker secret, that she's being sexually abused on the job. Our investigation found that sexual violence is a problem at janitorial companies across the nation, from tiny mom-and-pop shops to big corporations, from companies that operate off the books to those with shares traded on the New York Stock Exchange. ABM is the nation's largest janitorial company. It's among a rare group of 15 American corporations that have been sued at least 3 times by the federal government for failing to protect workers from sexual harassment. ABM employs nearly 65,000 janitors. They clean major airports, city halls, courthouses, and towering office buildings across the country. That's the company Maria Magana used to work for. Magana is a tiny woman in her 50s. She's practically dwarfed by the giant vacuum cleaner she straps onto her back. She's been cleaning office buildings in California for nearly 2 decades. We went on the job with her one night.
I couldn't leave it dirty. I dust most of the things. I even dust the signs. All these little windows, I clean them.
Magana even uses a plastic fork to scrape the dust out from the crevices in the windowsills. The next day, we went to Magana's house. Even though she was tired from cleaning late at night, she wanted us to come early in the morning before the neighbors woke up, because she didn't want them to know what we were there to talk to her about. But when we got to her street on the rural edge of Bakersfield, the neighbors were already playing music and drinking coffee on their front steps. Still, Magana wanted to tell us her story. She says her supervisor at ABM used to harass her. When she started talking about that, she was much more comfortable in Spanish.
So I hit him with my broom and he said, Maria, why are you so mad? What am I doing wrong? It's just a caress. I'm just being affectionate. I told him, you get any closer and I'll hit you with the handle right now. I told him, I'm going to spray this cleaner in your eyes.
But he didn't stop. And in 2005, Magana says he raped her. She took us to the bank building where she says it happened.
Every time I come to pass by this bank, I remember what happened. That's why I agreed to let you take me, so I could help remind women they should work in places that are well lit, that they shouldn't work alone.
The building was closed, but she peered in through the tinted glass door.
Behind the stairs is the conference room where that man tricked me, got me into that room. He shoved me as soon as I walked in and raped me.
Magana went to the bathroom, cleaned herself up, and finished working her shift.
Did you have sex with Maria Magana against her will at the ABM worksite?
No.
3 years later, government lawyers deposed Jose Vasquez, the man Magana says raped her.
Did you rape Maria Magana at the ABM worksite?
No.
The deposition was part of a class action lawsuit involving 21 women, including Maria Magana. It was brought by the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. That's the federal agency charged with protecting workers from discrimination. Anna Park was in charge of the case against ABM.
We did not believe they did all they could, and they allowed these women for years to be abused.
She says this was one of the worst cases of sexual harassment she had ever seen, and showed how the company failed to follow its own procedures.
Any good company will say, let's investigate this. Who else is affected? What else is going on? That didn't happen here.
The lawsuit claimed that ABM failed to protect the women from harassment and assault in the workplace. 14 harassers were named. A dozen of the plaintiffs pointed to one man, Supervisor Jose Vasquez. The EEOC found some witnesses, too. Scott Stevenson was volunteering one night at a fundraising dinner at a church in Bakersfield.
Sent some kids out to take some trash to the dumpster, and they came back with the trash. They thought somebody was hurt in the dumpster area. So I went to go investigate, see what was going on, and there was a what I believed was a sexual assault taking place right in front of us.
He saw a janitor he recognized as Jose Vasquez near the dumpster.
No, I recall the belt not being buckled all the way on his pants. Remember that jingling?
He says Vasquez was standing in front of another janitor, a woman.
His arms were spread out almost like a starfish, so he was preventing her from leaving that area. Every attempt she made, he would grab her or grope her to get her back in front of him. She was crying. She was in tears. She had that help me look on her face.
Stevenson threw the trash into the dumpster.
It made a bang.
Startling Jose Vasquez, Stevenson called the police, and in their report, the woman said she was frightened. But when the police asked Vasquez to come to the station a few days later, he showed up with the woman. They both said they had just been playing around. The police dropped their investigation, but the church sent a letter to ABM reporting what Stevenson had seen.
There's no way that could have been consensual. I've never seen anybody have a romantic interlude by a maggot-smelling dumpster.
But ABM never interviewed Stevenson. A few months later, the company got two anonymous letters alleging that Vasquez was touching and harassing women and that he had a criminal record. "Help us," said one letter. "Please send someone to investigate." But at his deposition, Vasquez testified that ABM didn't ask him about the letters.
Nobody from ABM talked to you about sexual harassment allegations in or around September of 2005, correct?
No, sir, nobody did.
And the company hadn't checked his background when he was hired. Vasquez was a convicted rapist on California's sex offender registry. Government lawyers deposed Timothy Brecky, then a regional vice president for ABM.
What's your overall question?
Well,
please.
I'm putting the exhibit in front of you to remind you that he was convicted of rape by force.
I see that, yes.
Brecky admitted the company's human resources department didn't notice that when Vasquez filled out his job application, he left the question about criminal history blank.
So the question is, do you think it was a good idea to put someone who was convicted of rape by force supervising women alone in buildings at night?
No.
But Brecky asked why the women didn't report their alleged attacks to ABM. For example, Maria Magana stayed on the job with Jose Vasquez for a year and a half after she says he assaulted her.
How these things were not reported in a timely manner, how there was no medical kind of backup to some of these things, I just need to have more information.
So it's the fault of the women?
Objection. Argumentative. You may answer.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
ABM didn't admit wrongdoing, but settled the case in 2010. The 21 women, including Maria Magana, were awarded a total of nearly $6 million.
¿Tú quieres tu café?
No.
Ten, mira.
5 years later, Magana still lives in a cramped house in Bakersfield, taking care of her elderly mother and teenage son. She's the only income earner and says that's a big reason why she kept working at ABM so long after her attack. She still works as a full-time janitor and says she's uncomfortable spending the settlement money from the case.
Me pueden dar miles y miles, pero yo hasta la fecha no puedo.
They can give me thousands and thousands of dollars, but to this day, I can't spend the money with joy because I see it as dirty. That money won't ease my pain, that filthy stain on my heart from that man who marked me. It won't change the past or clean how dirty I feel.
As for Jose Vasquez, he was never charged with any crimes related to the ABM case. We tracked him down, but it wasn't easy.
Okay, I'm not walking into that. Hi, Pooch. Hi, puppy.
Because of his previous rape conviction, he's on California's sex offender registry. But when we went to that address, he'd moved without notifying authorities.
Hello?
We finally found him at a new house, but he didn't want to be recorded. He said he started his own cleaning company, and he wanted to put the ABM case behind him. Some of those women, he told us, were just money hungry. A few months after settling the EEOC case, ABM was featured on national television, a show called Undercover Boss. ABM portrayed itself as a company that takes a lot of pride in its workers.
Each week, we follow the boss of a major corporation as they go undercover in their own company.
ABM's CEO at the time, Henrik Slipsager, posed as an immigrant looking for work as a janitor.
The boss will trade in his well-manicured lawn and private tennis court for rolls of toilet paper and a squeegee.
Rub it.
On the show, a woman janitor taught him how to clean toilets.
You like it, right?
I love it. Yes. I tell you, I love it. Yes.
She had only one complaint about the company.
One thing probably ABM could do better is have women wear pants, you know, because, like, if I have to run around, bend over, I got to make sure somebody else, excuse my language, doesn't see my butt behind me or something like that, you know?
Impressed with her work ethic, Slipsager gave her a new uniform, a pair of pants instead of a dress. Slipsager and other ABM officials declined our repeated requests for an interview. Just before deadline, they sent us their own videotaped statement.
Hi, my name is Miranda Tolar, and I'm ABM's Deputy General Counsel for Employment Law.
Tolar outlined ABM's commitment to a safe work environment, including sexual harassment training for employees and a hotline where they can report concerns or complaints in 100 languages.
We believe that our policies and procedures are the gold standard in the industry. Our systems work. In some cases, we have been made aware of inappropriate behavior and taken action. In other cases, allegations of wrongdoing have proven to be false and even malicious, often by individuals previously in consensual relationships that ended.
ABM also sent us a letter saying our reporting is focusing on older cases and the company has improved their policies and practices since the EEOC case was settled. But we found other lawsuits against ABM. In some of the cases, women say they were fired for complaining. And the company has fought some harassment cases aggressively, even after they lose at trial.
They don't want to accept reality. They don't want to lose.
Maria Bojorquez is a mother of five and a grandmother. She says she was raped while working the night shift at the San Francisco Ferry Building. ABM investigated, but found her allegations inconclusive. Bojorquez sued ABM, and in 2012, a jury awarded her more than $800,000. The company appealed. When they went to court in May 2015, ABM's attorney told the judges her testimony wasn't credible.
She said, "I was sexually harassed on an ongoing basis for many months, but there was not a single other witness who ever saw any alleged misconduct."
Well, would we expect another witness in a nighttime shift on a janitorial service where he's the foreman and she's assigned to a particular area?
There are times that they are alone, but there are also times there are other janitors who are working in that same building.
ABM's lawyer admitted, though, that their workers aren't always safe.
I mean, ABM and its parents, because they're also being sued, have tens of thousands of employees located across the United States and internationally, many who work in remote locations at night with minimal supervision. Bad things sometimes happen.
We've been talking about the nation's largest janitorial company, but the industry is dominated by small businesses that don't always play by the rules. Lilia Garcia Brower heads up the team of grassroots investigators that we met earlier. They're connected to the janitors union, but they're also funded by some big cleaning companies, including ABM. The companies say some of the smaller outfits undercut their business.
That's probably the number one competitor for responsible businesses are the companies who are paying cash, not paying taxes, not carrying workers' comp. And frankly, you know, those are types of cases where we've seen unreported rape and the more serious, you know, violent, physically violent crimes.
Hello.
Hola, Vicky.
Hola. Voy aquí, Vero, por la presidio ahorita.
Vicky Marquez and Veronica Alvarado signal each other with their headlights. They're driving around office building parking lots at night, looking out for janitors. But there are only a handful of these undercover teams, focused on a few cities in California and Massachusetts. There are some 2 million janitors in the U.S., the people who scrub our toilets and vacuum our floors. Sometimes they're victims of rape, but they're invisible to most of us, working on the night shift.
That was Sasha Coca from KQED. Rape on the Night Shift was reported by Reveal's Bernice Yearn, along with producer Daffodil Altan, Andres Sedyel, and Lowell Bergman from the UC Berkeley Investigative Reporting Program. It was produced in collaboration with KQED, Univision, and Frontline. You can also see the documentary we produce with Frontline at revealnews.org/nightshift. This story first aired in 2015. Now, with the Me Too movement, women in every profession are speaking up against workplace harassment and assault. And women working the night shift, they're learning to fight back.
Uno, dos, tres.
No!
That's next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.